This morning I want us to focus our attention on Genesis 39. It is part of the story of the book, story of Joseph. I'm sure you know the story of Joseph. I told you a little bit about it as I was telling the children. But Genesis 39 is the chapter which deals with when Joseph gets to Egypt. He is sold to one of the officials of Pharaoh called Potiphar. And when he's in that house, this is what happens to him. Now, Joseph been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had given him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took note of Joseph and said to him, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern him with anything in the household. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her and even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were in sight. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make a sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me and tried to make a sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left the cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When the master heard the story, his wife said to him, "This is how the slave has treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warders. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all that were held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I want to just talk a little bit about prospering in the Lord, principles practiced by people who prosper. Just as we were going on holiday, we were still kind of on our journey up to Namibia, I had a phone call from my son to say that somebody was trying to get hold of me to tell me that there was a pension that is due to me from a company that I had left a number of years ago. Well, you know, there are so many scams today. I immediately thought, well, somebody's trying to get some money out of me or steal some money from me. So I didn't think too much of it, but my son said he sounded, you know, legitimate. So while we were on the road, I did a little bit of research, and I went onto a website, a FedHealth website, and they've got a thing there that you can search for, you know, unclaimed pensions, and I put my ID and my name and everything like that. And lo and behold, my name came up. There's some money lying there that belongs to me. Well, I thought, well, let me just forget about it, you know, because I wasn't 100% certain until the day before yesterday, when I got an email from this company, from FedHealth, to say there is some pension in from a company that you were retrenched from a number of years ago, and it's due to you. I don't know how much it is. Could be 100 grand, it could be 10,000 rand, who knows? But you know, I discovered that there was a blessing that I had never knew about, that I had never claimed. It was there waiting for me. It's been there for years and years and years and years, probably more than 20 years since I left that place. In fact, probably closer to 30 years since I left that place. And friends, I wonder just how much that is true for us in a spiritual sense as well. There is so much that we have in the scriptures. God has so much for us, friends, that we as Christians are not really kind of laying claim to, not expecting from God, not asking God for. Jesus on one occasion says, you have not because you ask too much. Now, I'm not going to preach a prosperity sermon today. I don't believe in prosperity theology. But I do believe sometimes, friends, we need to be reminded about the fact that God prospers those who honor him. And so I want to look at the life of Joshua and just look at the principles that he practiced that caused him to prosper. That verse there said, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. What kind of people prosper? What kind of people does the Lord help to prosper? First of all, I want to remind you that prospering doesn't depend on the circumstances of your life. Friend, Joseph had no control over the circumstances of his life to a large degree. He thought he was the bee's knees. His father kind of thought he was the best son there was. But the other brothers didn't, did they? When he was sent into captivity, friends, they wanted to kill him. Then he is sold into slavery. Then he is sent into a house of an official. Then he is sent to jail. Then, friends, one thing after the next happened to him. Joseph, friends, had no control over the fact that he went down to Egypt, or over his life to a large degree, because, friends, at the back of what God wanted to do was God's plan and God's purpose. And we should never forget that. Regardless of the circumstance you may be facing, friends, at the moment, God can intervene, God can overtake, God can use your circumstance for his glory and his honor, and to bring the best into your life as well. Not only that, Joseph had nothing to do with his position in life. He was a slave. He was a prisoner. He was the prime minister. Friends, all of those positions he didn't choose to have. All of those positions, they were given to him. Did he prepare himself for them? Did he go and study to be a prime minister? Did he study to be a slave? Did he plan for that in his own life, friends? No, friends, nothing. God had intentions for him that Joseph had no control over in any way. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't prepare yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't go and study. Surely, if you want to do something, we need to be studying, friends. But friends, God had a plan far beyond Joseph's station in life. From being one of the youngest children in the family to becoming the prime minister and everything that went in between of that. Friends, it was all God's doing. We can't force our way into what God has for us. Thirdly, prospering has got nothing to do with where you live. Joseph was in the promised land, in the place that God intended for the Israelites to go to at some point in time. But friends, God took Joseph out of the promised land, first put him in a pit, then put him into Potiphar's house, then put him into prison, then put him into the prime minister's seat. From the promised land, friends, to the pit, to Potiphar's house, to prison, to the prime minister. It doesn't matter where Joseph lived, friends. What he did was he made certain that where he was at that point in time, he continued to serve the Lord. Sometimes we wonder why God has us in a particular place at a particular time. We don't always understand it. Our children often say to us, why are you still living in King Williamstown? Or, aren't it now? Why are you still living here? There are much more exciting places to live in this world than King Williamstown. And we agree with them. There probably are nicer, easier places to live. But we have to continue to remind our children, this is where God wants us. And the safest place for us to be, friends, is where God wants us to be. Not a place of our choosing, not a place of our desire, although we live very happily here, I can assure you. You know, when you go up to Joburg and these big towns and you get caught up in traffic and you're sitting there for 30 and 40 minutes, you're very happy to live in King Williamstown. Because you may sit in traffic for 10 minutes at most, but very seldom do you do that. So friends, doesn't matter where you're living at this point in time, you've got to make sure that you use the opportunities where you are living at that point in time. Fourthly, prospering, friends, is recognized by those whom among you live. The reality is, wherever Joseph went, friends, whenever he went to a place, the person in that particular place recognized that Joseph had the hand of the Lord upon his life. When he went to Potiphar's house, don't forget he was a slave from a foreign country. Potiphar saw in Joseph, friends, a potential leader. And he chose him from amongst those whom he lived to be the leader of his house. Then even when Joseph was, you know, sent to prison immorally and incorrectly, even in prison, the prison officials realized that Yah was a man who God could use or could be used as a leader. And the prison officials said that. In verse 3, it says, the master saw. In verse 21, it says, Joseph found favor in the eyes of the prison warder. Friends, you don't need to promote yourself. The world around us believes that if for you to achieve in life, you've got to push yourself. You've got to be ahead of everybody else. Friends, God will put you in the place where He wants you to be. You don't need to self-promote. If God intends for you to be the Prime Minister, God will raise you out from amongst those that are around you to become the Prime Minister. Fifthly, prospering comes from hard work, friends. When Joseph was put in charge of a place, he did the best he possibly could. When he was in charge of Potiphar's house, friends, I just love that verse that says, the only thing Potiphar worried about was the food that he was eating. He didn't worry about anything else in his house. Because, friends, Joseph had taken all of that off his place. Because Joseph, friends, did the best he possibly could. When he went into prison, it tells us the prison guard didn't have to think about anything that was under Joseph's control. Because Joseph, friend, worked hard at fulfilling the responsibility that was given to him. Number six, friends, prospering feeds on itself. Both Potiphar and the prison warder saw that the Lord was with Joseph when they put him in charge. Wasn't Joseph's ability, it was the Lord in Joseph whom those around him saw. Number seven, prospering flows out to those that are around you. You see, the principle of prosperity preaching, that's where I differ with the principle of prosperity preaching. The principle of prosperity preaching is you must get it all for yourself. You must live in such a way that you get the Mercedes or you get whatever it is. That, friends, the principle of prosperity in the Bible is that God puts you in a place not for your own purpose, but for those that are around you. Joseph prospered, friends, and as he prospered, those that were around him prospered as well. We should never forget that. God doesn't give us things just for our benefit. God gives us things, friends, so that we may share our bounty with others as well. Number eight, prospering, friends, doesn't free you from difficulties and temptation. Very quickly, Potiphar's wife saw in Joseph something that she desired for herself. Friends, Joseph wasn't free from temptation. But the reality is, we need to remember that as well. One of the great temptations of wealth is that the minute you get more than you really need, is that you begin to think you've got to hang on to it, that it's there only for you and to serve you. Some of the wealthiest people, friends, are some of the most selfish people. I read a quote this last, or saw a story this last week about Bill Gates. I don't know if you saw that story. But Bill Gates said he would rather spend his money on investing in vaccines than going to Mars. Because he's got enough money to go to Mars if he wants to. Wouldn't it be difficult for him to pay for a trip to go to Mars? I don't know if he'll get back again, but he'd be able to get there at least. But he said he would rather spend his money on developing vaccines, and one of the vaccines he is hoping to develop is a vaccine that will vaccinate people against the effects of malaria. something desperately needed in the world we're living in. I think he's got his priorities right, although he also lives selfishly, or he also divorced his wife for another younger woman. Number 9, prospering knows their limits, friends. Joseph knew what was out of bounds. When Potiphar's wife offered herself to him, he knew that that was beyond the prospering that God had intended for him. The sad reality is, friends, is that in many of these churches where prosperity preaching is the center of the theology of those churches, is in many of them that those who are prospering think that they are above the law of the Lord. And finally, prospering, friends, is directly related to how much the Lord has control over your life. If you just look right throughout the story, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, they saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had given him success. Verse 3 again, the Lord blessed the household of Potiphar. Verse 9, Joseph said, how could I, when Potiphar's wife offered herself to him, he didn't say, how could I sin against Potiphar? He said, how could I sin against God? Verse 21, the Lord was with him. Verse 23, because the Lord was with him, with Joshua, and gave him success in whatever he did. Now for the real message. Friends, God has blessed us in Christ far beyond anything that Potiphar could ever experience. Let me ask you this morning, are you tapping into the blessing that you have in Jesus Christ? That's my message to us today. If you forget about the story of Potiphar, I was just laying that as a foundation, friends. The question for you today, the message for us today, is do we have thousands of whatever it may be? I'm hoping it's thousands of rand that's in the unclaimed benefits there. But do we even know that it's there? Friends, the wonderful truth is that the blessing of God is there. It's all there. Let me remind you just the 4 verses in the New Testament. Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul writes, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Are you feeling, I just can't do it? I just don't have the energy to do that this today. No, friends, if you're in Christ, that message is aimed at you. Paul could confidently say, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You can't do it in your own strength, friends. But you can do it in the strength that he gives you. If you're wondering about something that perhaps God is leading you to do, and you're wondering whether you'd have the ability to do it, you don't, friends, but in Christ you do. Let me remind you, if you want to prosper, reach out, friends. Go back to those things that are in the scripture for us. Verse number 2. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory free through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there are many Christians walking around fearing death, fearing the future, wondering what the future may hold for them, friends. But let me remind you, there is nothing to fear, for we're in Christ. And if we're to pass from this body into the next, friends, we can be reminded that we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. The victory was won on the cross. That's why the angels could say, "He is risen just as he had said." Friends, we can win and have won the victory. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us approach the throne of God with confidence. Friends, you don't need to be afraid to ask God. I read a little quote, it said, "If your faith doesn't scare you, you're not having faith. If your faith doesn't scare you, you're not having faith." Friends, we need to believe beyond our capacity. Because when we do that, let us approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then the final verse, you know this verse, Romans 8:28. "For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Friend, anything and everything in this world is working for the glory of God and for our benefit. May not feel like it when you're facing load shedding for whatever, 10 hours a day. Don't forget, Zimbabwe is facing load shedding for 19 hours a day. We may face it for 10, but they're facing it for 19. Friends, God's good. There's a great difference between 10 and 19. I know there's a great difference between 10 and nothing as well. We would much rather have nothing. But friends, God's working his plan out. We don't always understand. Sometimes when you look around us, Patricia was accusing me this last week of being very negative. And I was looking around and complaining about lots of things. But as I was preparing the sermon, I was reminded, friends, God's got a plan. And his plan, friends, according to this verse, is causing everything to work together for the good of those who love him. Don't always understand how that's going to work it out. But God has a plan. And let's never lose sight of that. So let me ask you, are you prospering or are you just whimpering? Or don't you realize that there are many unclaimed benefits that you can hang on to as a child of God? Go to the Word, friends. Go and claim the benefits that God has for you and intends for you to have in your life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your purposes for us are always beyond our capacity to understand. I'm sure Joseph, Lord, as he went through these difficult times, didn't always understand what he was facing. Lord, sometimes, even when he was innocent, he was being accused of being wrong. But Lord, we pray that you would remind us to rest in your plan in our life. Help us to live in such a way that others see you in us. Because of that, Lord, they'll be drawn closer to you as well. Help us, Lord, to live out all your promises To your glory we pray that. Amen.